Hey there, if you're listening to this and you support us on Patreon, you can hear it via the Patreon page ad-free.
Hello, Chicago!
You're listening to Sound Opinions, and this week we're sharing new, under-the-radar sounds you need to hear. Buried treasures. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kot. Later, I'll pay tribute to the late Mary Weiss of the Shangri-Las. Let's get right into the buried treasures. Jim, I want to kick us off with...
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
A record by a young artist named Courtney Hadwin, all of 19 years old, an English singer-songwriter. Her voice has been compared to, get this, Tina Turner and Janis Joplin.
Powerhouse.
Just had a few singles out. Still living with her parents in England, you know?
Wow.
We're just getting started here, right? She released 4 singles last year that she wrote, the latest and best of which is the track I'm going to play. She's been, in this particular track, she's wrestling with the notion of maintaining your mental equilibrium while under extreme stress. Mm. Sounds like a lot of 19-year-olds I know.
Sounds like a lot of people I know
at my age.
Well,
you
this
know?
Is true. Sounds like a lot of tracks on my list of buried treasures this episode.
All right. This is, you know, if nothing else, it sounds like the premise for one of those psychodrama horror flicks. You know, I'm a little bit lonely, but I'm never alone, surrounded by myself, and there's nobody home, you know. But I just love the voice. I love the way the drama of the track. Courtney Hadwin is the name of the artist. Monsters is the song on Sound Opinions.
I'm a little bit lonely, but I'm never alone. Surrounded by myself and there's nobody home. The night's long, last all day, and I can't keep keeping all the monsters away. I need a flashlight to chase them away.
That is Monsters from a very promising new voice from England, Courtney Hadwin.
I love the way it starts out all dramatic and a little goth and then blows up. I noticed 2 trends, which I won't tip until later in your picks this episode.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to start out with a band, an Irish garage punk band from Dublin called Sprints. My buddy Jim Testa, I don't know, he must listen to music 28 hours a day, said, you got to check this band out. All you need to know is they started the group after seeing Savages perform live. I have been waiting, you know, for the Savages influence to come out in the wash. One of the best bands I'd seen since Nirvana. And just, I was heartbroken when Jenny Beth decided to take the solo route because the group was extraordinary. And Carla Chubb, the leader of the band, the voice of the band, you know, has that kind of intensity, that voice that is just a flamethrower, and a little bit of theatricality. And, you know, talk about questioning our place in the world. This track that I'm going to play, Ticking, it's a single from the album Letter to Self, which just came out this month after two EPs had preceded it. You know, it has that existential angst. Mm. Maybe I should cut off my hair, right? am I fitting into the world? And then building in the Savages tradition to the grand existential question, am I alive? Mm. Am I alive? Carla asks again and again. The guitars are just incredibly powerful. The rhythm section kicks it. And I fell in love with this band instantly. The track is Ticking. The band is Sprints. I'm loving the whole album, Letter to Self.
Harder, maybe I should check the weather. Maybe I should bring a sweater. Maybe I should cut my hair off. Maybe I should cut my
with Ticking. You know, to say that they have Savages in them, I mean, you know, good luck if you can copy Savages. It's not a straight copy, but it's in the tradition.
You know, I didn't like say, oh, that's a Savages knockoff, but I love this record. This is a great pick, Jim. You know, I start my list of potential top tens in January. This is on that list. Right
on
now.
Mine as well.
Really, really good record. Absolutely. We're going to ask our producers to chip in here as well. Sol Delgadillo is up. Sol, what kind of a buried treasure have you got for us?
So this time around, my buried treasure, I decided to go with what I'm comfortable with, which is my K-pop route. So I chose Sweet Venom by ENHYPEN, and I ended up choosing the English version. It's just so good. It's so catchy. I saw them back in October, and it was like my very first VIP K-pop experience. I don't want to disclose how much money I spent, but that's okay. And one of the VIP perks was this little like paper box cover, and it had a little note on it that said, "Please look forward to Orange Blood and place the album inside this cover when it comes out." And not even like a couple days, a couple weeks later, they released an album, and then you got to like put the albums in there when you physically went out and bought them. So I thought it would be nice to just play that. I have a good memory tied to it, and yeah.
Excellent. Hey, so how many K-pop bands make it over to the U.S. to tour, especially ones that are not on the top level?
I'd say a good amount of them do. It's just a matter of how expensive the shows are.
Yeah.
And what venues can like hold either that many people or that little people.
I imagine the hurdles are daunting because they are for any overseas touring act, more so today than ever.
Yeah, definitely. And also when they do tour, I feel like they all come at the exact same time.
Like your concert dollars are stretched thin.
It's when I tell you I have a whole separate savings account just for K-pop shows.
This is why you're a producer on Sound Opinion, Sol.
Hey, you know what? That's where all the money goes. You guys are indirectly funding my K-pop addiction.
All right.
Well, let's
somebody's got to do it, right, Sol?
Yeah.
Let's dive in and ENHYPEN, Sweet Venom, the English version.
Hey!
your love games. Drunk on your poison in my blood veins. I'll never be the same.
Well, spinning in my room, feeling kinda strange. Wishing I could get another chance.
Soul's Pick and Hypen. Let's turn to our Columbia College intern, Max Hatlam. Max, you took a left turn this time.
Yeah, well, I'd been wanting to recommend something in this lane for a while, but this week I decided to go with something a bit jazzier. It's a song called Rust by an artist named Yousef Days featuring Tom Misch. Yousef is a brilliant drummer. He's been getting popular in the London jazz scene. Both of these guys are British artists. And yeah, Yousef is a jazz artist. A lot of people see him that way. But the thing I really like about Yousef is that he seems to be influenced by so many different styles. He's talked about West African music, Brazilian music. I can definitely hear rock and roll influence, hip hop influence. This song in particular kind of feels like it exists in some weird space between rock and hip hop. It's such a simple song. It's mostly just drums and bass. There's some electric keys. There's a little bit of choir in the background, kind of giving it this cool gospel vibe. Yousef packs a lot of cool drumming into it. He has this unique talent for being delicate and intense at the same time. That's kind of his thing.
You're not kidding. Just before the 3 minute mark, there is a 10 second drum roll, mm-hmm. right? Must be four measures, mm-hmm. if not more. And it's a musical part. It is not. Let me show off, how many notes I can play. It carries the song to a new level just before it ends.
Yeah. Yeah. And he sounds like he's just chilling the whole time. Like none of it is really
not even breaking a sweat.
Right, exactly. I don't think he ever does more than just one hit on the snare. It's like there's always like at least a couple ghost notes in there. I think you could say that he exists in a similar space with like Kamasi Washington, Micaiah McRaven, Robert Glasper, people that are making new jazz music, and like definitely you can hear the influence of hip-hop on those artists, but I think that Yousef is even more ambiguous, and I'm just excited to see where his sound goes in the future.
Well, let's give the drummer some Yousef Days with Rust. Max's pick for this episode of Buried Treasures, Yousef Days, Rust.
I love it because, that British jazz scene is incredible. You know, Shabaka Hutchings, Nubia Garcia, I mean, these artists are, you nailed it, Max. There's a sort of an eclecticism to that area of music where it is, you know, it's jazz adjacent as opposed to like pure jazz. They're blending so many different styles. And I was asking Shabaka Hutchings about it, years ago, and he said, I go to clubs too. Yeah, I like that kind of music. Yeah. I don't need to just play straight up jazz. I can play all these different styles of music, and there's nothing saying that they can't. And I just think it's a really exciting movement right now.
Good stuff. As always, we want to hear your picks. Leave them in a voice message on our website or leave a comment in our Patreon community. When we return, we'll share more of our recent buried treasures and hear more from our production staff on Sound Opinions.
Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island's been brewing beers in the spirit of Chicago.
You can find IPAs, lemonade, shandy, and limited releases in-store or at one of Goose's venues in Chicago. Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island. Since 1988, Goose Island has been brewing award-winning beers in Chicago that are inspired by this city. Take 312 Lemonade Shandy, Tropical Beer Hug Double IPA, and a rotating series of hazy IPAs only available in Chicago. You know, every time we go down to Goose Island, there's another one that they're pushing on us.
That's right.
They're all good.
Absolutely. And what supporters of musical culture, you know, in the city of Chicago and elsewhere, if you go to a show in Chicago and you see that Goose Island sign, you know when you're in good hands. They're music fans as well as great beer makers at Goose Island, so we're really proud to be associated with them.
The Goose Island Beer Company, Chicago's beer. And we are back. This week, we're sharing some of our latest batch of buried treasures. New under-the-radar music you probably haven't heard, but you need to. Let's throw it to our producer, Andrew Gill. Andrew, what have you got for us?
What's up, guys? This is a very Andrew Gill pick. It's not an Irish artist this time, but it is a ex-evangelical homeschooler. Mm. this is an artist named Katie Kirby, who is a recent signing to Anti Records, who seem to be on a spree of signing up these inventive young singer-songwriters. Her new album is called Blue Raspberry. And the song I want to play is called Table. And she says about this song that it represents the limitations she experienced being raised as a homeschooled evangelical Christian in Texas. And the video really makes this clear because she's dressed like a Puritan in a church. And she just, there's a table in the middle of the church and she destroys it with an axe and then rebuilds a new table that she is living underneath by the end of the video.
Well, Andrew, you've been doing some extraordinary criticism, cultural journalism, with your podcast in your spare time, quote unquote. Hey, you know, let's give it another plug. We've talked about it in the past.
Yeah, Rock That Doesn't Roll. Check it out. It's a PRX podcast, season 2 coming in April.
Yeah.
Cool.
if you think you know Christian rock, you don't. Mm. And Andrew and his co-host will enlighten you.
Right. And, you know, Katie, though, is part of like a whole subgenre now.
Right.
That she toured with Julia Jacklin, who I would slot in this category as well. You could broaden it out to even Lucy Dacus, Julian Baker, all these artists that are doing amazing work. And many of them now are queer as well. So it's kind of an interesting trajectory the way that works. But yeah, Katie Kirby with Table. It's a good track.
That is Katie Kirby with Table. You know what? I also thought a little Waxahachie adjacent kind of sound to me. You know, that's what I picked up as well. So
also a recent signing to
another song. Yeah, I love the way the background builds in the climax of the song.
It's cool. I want to hop to a band called Posey. This is a trio with a new album, Smiling Pools, their second album that came out late last year. They'd released a couple EPs and a debut album in 2019 prior to that. It's a trio, as I mentioned, drums, bass, and violin. And I think what's distinctive about them, especially, is that violin played by one Rosa Brooke. She's filtering that violin through these MIDI converters and synthesizers and getting a really kind of avant-garde kind of sound to it. You know, it reminiscent maybe John Cale and the Velvet Underground with that viola, you know, the way that sounded, that drone, and also just the effects on it. And also the three-part harmonies that sort of swim over the top of these very minimalist grooves. I mean, everything is just very stripped down. So those violin parts are really highlighted, as well as those harmony vocals swimming over the top with the melody line. Here's a track from the new album called Pest Control by Posey on Sound Opinions. Posey, P-O-Z-I, by the way. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, out of the UK. That is a track called Pest Control.
I was hearing a little Suicide in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, very minimalist, for sure.
You love that stuff. I'm going to a band now called Blusher and a new single called Rave Angel. This is a three-piece girl group. They proudly take that name. Girl group, hot girl pop, they say they're making. Alternately angry, sparkly pop. And they are producers, multi-instrumentalists, singers. They have as their role models the Spice Girls or Destiny's Child, but they all are Beyonce, they say, right? They are all taking turns leading the group, so it's not a girl group in the sense of one person way out front. It's about having a good time. They were bored during COVID. They were frustrated. As they've said, they've had a lot of pent-up energy, and they just wanted to make some pop music to dance to. That doesn't mean they aren't angry. The DJ here sucks, they say in Rave Angel. Can I redeem the night? And, you know, their own grooves are far better than whatever they were listening to, because it's joyous, it's propulsive, it's just a lot of fun. So, from down under, Blusher with Rave Angel. The DJ may have sucked, but Blusher does not. Blusher does not.
I love that bass line in that track.
Yeah.
Gonna go back to Chicago for this one. A band named La Rosa Noir. Red Motorcycle is a single from their new album, Arellano. It's named after the singer's late mother. Her mom's life and death really inspired a lot of the songs by Yeshi Regalado. She is a powerhouse vocalist. And singing over a bit of post-punk, a little bit of surf twang in the sound that I'm hearing, a mix of influences. And a lot of songs referencing their Mexican heritage throughout. You know, you got a single earlier from the record was called Chicano Stomp. You know, they're very loud and proud about their heritage, which is great. Red Motorcycle, I don't ride motorcycles, but I would if I had this as a soundtrack.
I think I'd pay to see that.
Not, it wouldn't be a pretty sight. La Rosa Noir with Red Motorcycle on Sound Opinions. Red Motorcycle, La Rosa Noir, a great new band out of Chicago.
They do rock. You know, I broke your buried treasures with the exception of Posey, which is in the synth pop early 80s tip.
Yeah.
You know, you got two ferocious rockers and you got two kind of theatrical songs.
Definitely.
Typecasting you. I'm going to Maggie Lindemann next with a single called Hostage. You know, Greg, we appreciate all the publicists who do get in touch with us and say, listen to this. We can't ever get back to all of them. There are so many. But, you know, when our buddy Jim Merlis or my longtime friend Bobby Gale says, I think you might like this, I always give it at least the 10-second test because they know my taste. You know, Maggie is trafficking in kind of electro pop, but with a little bit of like Courtney Barnett or alt-era rage in it. And I really like this track, Hostage. You know, it is a recurring theme among some of our picks. Feeling trapped, despite being a good place in your life, feeling trapped and questioning yourself and whether you fit. That's what the song is about. Interesting career Maggie Lindemann's had, really big. This young artist from Dallas, Texas, broke big in the European charts, had a number four hit in Sweden and charted in the UK, Ireland, Netherlands, right? And as far as I can tell, kind of unknown since her debut album, Sucker Punch, in 2022. Hopefully, forthcoming album, I think this single is a taste of it, will make her better known here at home. Maggie Lindemann, Hostage. I do like that track, Bobby Gale. Maggie Lindemann, Hostage. It's got great energy.
Huge pop chorus, too, you know?
Yeah.
That staticky, glitchy synthesizer sound, and then that big chorus hits you right between the eyes.
We keep seeing, you know, the influence of mainstream pop in all sorts of underground genres, and that is not a bad thing.
Yeah, for sure. We need to go to another one of our producers. Alex Claiborne has a track for us. Alex, I know you're the pop queen. I'm ready to get another dose of pop candy. Let us know what you got.
I swear, guys, I like other genres of music and other styles of music. But when it comes to discovering like recent new songs. Like I have a whole bunch of great buried treasures from other genres that I've discovered from the 70s or 80s or 90s or whenever. And so I have certainly a treasure trove from then, but for this one, for the more recent stuff, it's mostly pop oriented. So this is a song called Dating a Drug Dealer, and it's by the artist slash band, The Sunshine State. The artist is Skylar Stonestreet, and she's a songwriter. She's written a lot of music for artists like Dua Lipa, Tate McRae, Justin Bieber, and Ariana Grande. So she's done kind of the pop circuit in terms of like, you know, kind of making some money, putting some stuff away, making some hits. But this song, Dating a Drug Dealer, came out in late 2022 on kind of an album EP. It's 8 songs called In Another Life. And I came across this song fall of last year, and it's kind of stuck with me since. And the song is about dating someone who has a lot of money, and you're like, this person's probably doing maybe something nefarious to earn their money, but like also ignorance is bliss, you know, kind of thinking about all these nice things, but like, it's probably, you know, like this,
don't ask,
maybe
don't
this
tell,
isn't
huh?
above board. And like, maybe I'm falling for this person, but also like in the back of your mind, kind of having some caution. But I love the instrumental elements of this song and just a synth pop vibe, and I really appreciate, because it has been so dreary outside, whether it's been cold or maybe it's warmed up, but it's rainy and gross outside, and this song very much evokes being on a boat in the middle of the ocean or being in Southern California. So I very much enjoy the song, and I hope you guys like it too. The Sunshine State, Dating a Drug Dealer.
Dating a Drug Dealer by the Sunshine State.
You know, you do sort of have to pull up a little bit when Alex, you know, gives you a song stating dating a drug dealer.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is going to be a little different.
Not an Alex title.
You know what I liked, Alex, was the casualness of the vocal. Singing about this, like, toxic person, and it's just kind of laid back about it, you know? Which I thought was an interesting twist on the whole, you know, expectation game that I was playing here. You know,
summoning a little bit of...
upended it.
A little bit of Lana Del Rey there, I thought, you know, with that sort of darkness and then making light of it. Good stuff, Alex. As always, we want to hear your picks. Leave them in a voice message on our website or start a conversation in our Facebook group. We have more than 3,500 music fans just waiting to see what you recommend. When we come back, more buried treasures. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions. Remember in 2018 when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported those parents back to their home countries, and kept the kids in the United States? Believe it or not, 6 years later, there are still hundreds of families who have not yet been reunited.
Though we as a community may feel hopeless at times, we recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
Since 2018, they've reunited over 100 refugee families ripped apart by the zero-tolerance policy of the previous administration. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family find legal representation, housing, and the counseling they need in order to heal and get back on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like us and believe that all families belong together, then join us supporting El Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. That's gum.fm/charity.
You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website, elotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back. This week, we're sharing new music that we're excited about and think you need to hear. My next buried treasure is from a band called The Last Dinner Party. I am really intrigued about this British indie rock band from London, formed just a couple of years ago. You know, Baroque pop, I guess, starts to get at what they're doing here. I'm hearing a lot of Sparks. For those of you who are familiar with that band, you know, there's great Sparks and there's, like, you know, maybe too much of Sparks. But I think they're at their best. They're really great. And I think The Last Dinner Party gets at some of what made Sparks great. Again, the Baroque quirkiness of it. They opened a tour for Florence and the Machine last summer, which sounds like a perfect pairing. You know, they're kind of. There's nothing subtle, really, you know? It's pretty intense, pretty over the top. The vocals are really strong. They all sing, as far as I can tell. And again, the classical instrumentation combined with the voices and the urgency of the track make it a really intriguing combination for me. I want to hear more from this band. Here's a track. They've been releasing a bunch of singles. It's called Sinner. The Last Dinner Party is the name of the band on Sound Opinions.
I wish I knew you back when we were both small. I wish I knew you, but I have gotten too tall. I wish I knew you when touch was innocent. I wish I knew you before it felt like a sin.
That is Sinner from The Last Dinner Party. Jim, what do you got next for us?
I don't have anything that twee or theatrical. That one.
I know it's not up your alley.
That one did not connect with me.
I really like it.
I'm very glad. I'm going in a different direction here. I think Andrew would like this track. I'm going to play a song called Rotting Fruit by an artist named Kalia Lee. She is from Vancouver. Boy, has she got some impressive fans. She's been getting shout-outs from the likes of Taylor Swift and Bon Iver. You know, hushed, organic, folky singer-songwriter that is really powerful stuff. The reason I said Andrew and his fascination with the underground Christian movement, she grew up playing strictly in the church and has since seen her worldview expand. And this song, Rotting Fruit, is about these ideas that you grew up with that were instilled in you and the fight you have to have as you form your own opinions and belief systems. Some of these old ideas rot, like the two tomatoes that look so good only 2 days ago that sort of exploded in my fruit bowl over there that I got rid of this morning, Greg. Rotting Fruit by Kalia Lee.
Now's the time to good.
Kalia Lee, Rotting Fruit. You know, with fans like Taylor, she's going to explode. But not like the tomato, I'm sorry.
When I saw the song title, I was like, is this a Dead Kennedys album? You know, Rotting
Fresh Fruit. Yeah.
Or whatever it
no,
was.
It wasn't.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's the direct opposite of that. Slow Pulp is a band that a number of people have been advocating to me in recent months. They're a Chicago group. They moved here from Madison, Wisconsin, a quartet. Been releasing music pretty steadily since 2015. Keep getting better with every record. Got signed to Anti Records, which ain't bad. Pretty good record label. Their second full length came out in 2023 called Yard. I'm up and down on the record as a whole, the album as a whole, but it's got some killer tracks on it. Emily Massey is the lead vocalist and guitar player, and you know, she's a presence on this record for sure. She definitely structures the sound. Good band around her, good rhythm section with Emily on the lead vocals. Here's I think what is the best track on the record, called Cramps, from Slow Pulp on SoundCloud. Slow Pulp, Cramps is the name of the song.
I know I can always count on you to give us at least one heavy, you know, almost doom stoner rock kind of entry in each Buried Treasures. And it always makes me happy.
Well, there you go.
My last Buried Treasure, Greg, is an artist who's been around for a while but is set to make a lot of noise in 2024. Alexandra Ashley Hughes, Canadian singer-songwriter and visual artist, performance artist, I'd really say, who emerged from that indie pop scene in Toronto in the mid-2000s as Ali X. Hmm. Why is she Ali X? Because in mathematics, she says, X is any possible variable. It's an unknown quantity. And I think that's what Ali X wants us to approach her music as the unknown quantity, ripe with surprises. I really wanted to play the newest single from this forthcoming album. It's due in February, but boy, it would have gotten us in trouble on public radio. Thank you.
Words you can't say on public radio.
Thank you, producers, right, for always watching our back there. However, I can play the title track, Girl With No Face. It's out as a single. The album's coming February 23rd. You know, equal parts, Ali X says, ABBA, Bjork, Kate Bush, and then something completely Martian. I don't know. She describes her melodies as being soaring pop, borderline theatrical Disney, but the lyrics always seem to be darker. You know, I'm kind of allergic to that Broadway theatricality Disney thing. But here, it just works. And the music is super inventive. The attitude is second to none. Girl With No Face by Ali X. X, Girl With No Face. Alex was a fan and had him on her buried treasures list, but we just never got to them. We got to, you know, you and I could take, you know, a sabbatical of 6 months and just turn it over to Alex and Andrew and,
that's true,
and Sol and Max. And,
sure.
Let them talk about all the stuff they never get to talk about.
They're all nodding in agreement, like, yeah, yeah, sure. You guys need a break.
Sure,
yeah.
Boys.
Yeah.
Those are our buried treasures this time around. As always, we want to hear your picks. I'll say it again. Leave them in a voice message on our website so we can share them on the show.
That is a little bit of Remember Walking in the Sand, the great 1964 single by the group called the Shangri-Las, lead vocals by one Mary Weiss, who died on January 19th at the age of 75. Mary Weiss, just a pioneering vocalist and dramatic, almost actor in a lot of her songs.
Mm, yeah.
Largely written by Shadow Morton, produced by Shadow Morton, the great Shadow Morton. Some people may know him from producing the second New York Dolls album.
Yeah.
The New York Dolls were huge fans of Mary Weiss and Shadow Morton in particular. You know, Shadow sort of fashioned himself as the East Coast answer to Phil Spector. He wanted big, dramatic, orchestrated productions. Mary Weiss made it work because she wasn't a particularly melodramatic singer. There was a sense of yearning and vulnerability in her voice that made these songs come alive. It wasn't just sort of a soap opera scenario, which in a lot of different hands could have happened.
Yeah.
Weiss really made it work. She started out the band with her sister and a couple of twins that they all knew each other from high school in Queens, New York. They named themselves the Shangri-Las after a Long Island restaurant, you know?
Really?
Modest beginnings, yeah. 7 top 40 hits between 64 and 66. Mary hated being called a part of a girl group.
Mm.
She thought, even back then, she thought it was a sexist notion, that girls, in particular, girl group, the sort of demeaning terminology, meant that they really weren't artists, and she believed quite the opposite. You know, when people asked her, what do you consider yourselves then? She said, I'm a street singer.
Mm.
I'm not particularly well trained, but, you know, most of the so-called girl groups were coming out in gowns and dresses.
Yeah, grooming school.
And you know, here comes the Shangri-Las dressed in leather pants, you know. And, you know, I think the only comparable figure from that era would have been somebody like Ronnie Spector of the Ronettes.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of that tough attitude, you know, a rock and roll sensibility to these pop songs.
Well, and Ronnie
and Weiss
was,
had that.
She was fighting Phil Spector every inch of the way to assert herself, whereas it seems like Mary Weiss had the blessing and freedom and a more equal partnership with Shadow Moore.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, she had a huge role in how these songs came off. She was certainly no one's puppet. You know, and she was working with some of the best folks. I mean, besides Shadow Morton, I mean, you know, Jeff Berry and Ellie Greenwich, great songwriting team out of the Brill Building, wrote songs for them. So they were extremely well respected. The sound effects in the songs, the melodrama, you know, people tend to focus on that a little bit. But a lot of these songs are talking about loneliness, loss, some of the most gruesome tragedies in pop song history, you know,
well, yeah, and,
described in these songs.
And
know?
The sound effects, but you know, they sound one way today, maybe, but bursting out of an AM radio, you know, one of those little pocket jobs carrying it around when these singles were on the pop charts.
Right.
I mean, it was, nobody had heard that.
I remember my, you know, first time I heard it, and like, you know, there was some top 40 countdown of the greatest songs of all time, and the Shangri-Las would come on, and my eyes were just popping out of my head,
mm-hmm.
like, what the heck is this? It was like cinema, you know, on this little transistor radio, you know, it was incredible. You know, Remember Walking in the Sand, Leader of the Pack, Give Him a Great Big Kiss, I Can Never Go Home Anymore. I mean, the songs were indelibly great, one after the other. Joey Ramone flat out told Mary one time, he saw her, she came to CBGB to see the Ramones, and he said the Ramones wouldn't exist without the Shangri-Las, which may have been a slight overstatement, but, you know, Joey really appreciated
their sound and their sensibility. And obviously the New York Dolls adored them. You know, they covered their songs. They hired their producer. I mean, you think about Debbie Harry, you think about the Slits, the Au Pairs, the Raincoats, Chrissy Hynde, the Riot Girl bands. They all cited Mary Weiss and the Shangri-Las as a huge, huge influence on what they did. So that cannot be, you know, overstated. And, you know, sadly, Mary got fed up with the music industry very quickly. You know, they had all those hits, and they never got the respect they deserved, or the, you know, they just signed bad contracts, got screwed, like a ton of other artists did during that era.
The recurring story.
Left, you know, left the music industry, just stopped. And eventually came back and made a couple of records, but, you know, it wasn't really the same anymore, which is a sad story, but the legacy is just monumental. And, you know, where do you start with this group? One of their lesser-known hits is a song that I want to focus on. Really groundbreaking at the time. I had a conversation with a friend of mine, John Henderson, who cited Past, Present, and Future as just an incredibly powerful song that was way ahead of its time. 1966, it was kind of a lower-end chart hit. A song about sexual violence and how one woman dealt with it. Co-written by Shadow Morton, by the way, but Mary delivered it. It was a very personal song to her, and a very powerful song with, you know, groundbreaking subject matter, largely spoken, not sung. That's the other thing I might want to add about this. You know, even though she was a terrific singer, again, this sort of actor sensibility. It wasn't just a song; she was playing a part, playing a role, and then you got that. You know, you got that orchestration behind it. So, really dramatic song, great delivery. Mary Weiss with a song called Past, Present, and Future from the Shangri-Las, 1966 on Sound Opinions.
Present. Go out with you? Why not? Do I like to dance? Of course. Walk along the beach tonight? I'd love to. But don't try to touch me. Don't try to touch me. 'Cause that will never happen again.
I was really hoping, Greg, you were going to play Leader of the Pack just because I want to hear that motorcycle revving up with a ton of reverb. But, listeners, if you want to hear it, you can go to episode 702 where Alex Claiborne did a fantastic piece on that song. What do we have on the show next week?
Next week, Jim, you know, it's that time of year. Like, if you're living in a cold weather climate like we are, you just want to get away sometime. And we're going to play some songs about getting away on vacation.
Yeah, one of us is getting away, and the other is in going into week two of another semester at Columbia College.
I hear you.
Don't forget to check out our bonus podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this program belong solely to Sound Opinions and not necessarily to Columbia College Chicago or our sponsors. Thanks, as always, to our Patreon supporters. As always, Sound Opinions is produced by Andrew Gill, Alex Claiborne, and our associate producer, Sol Delgadillo. Great picks on the Buried Treasures gang. Our Columbia College intern is Max Hatlam, and our social media consultant is Katie Cott.